Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris, and we're talking about raising the roof. We're talking about getting that stinking thinking, you know, out of there. And take the roof off of your thinking so that you can actually believe God for something more, something bigger than just what's flying, you know, right above outside your head. You know what I'm saying? A little two feet of space there. And we talked about how God introduced an idea to Abraham and Sarah, more than an idea, his will. And she was like, what? If you constantly are looking at things in the natural, I mean, does any of this make sense in the natural? You know what I mean?
No.
Does it make sense? So many things that have, listen, I can't figure it all out. I can't even do simple math, much less try to figure out the stars and everything else.
Yeah.
It's just better to say, God, you know what? Whatever you want to do, I'm going to agree with it. And I'm not going to look at things in the natural, but I'm going to step out into the areas of impossibilities.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I just feel, I'm sitting here and I'm like, wow, you know, you're reading my mail, you know. I remember not long after I first came to the Lord and I saw these people around me who were doing things for God. And I looked at myself and I'm like, God, I don't have any talents. And I remember there was a specific teaching that I heard that was talking about talents, investing your talents, you know, and when you don't invest your talents, the scripture talks about that you,
even what you do have will be taken from
right,
you, basically.
Right. If you don't invest it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying, I think I was with Pat at the time and we were talking about it and, like, man, I don't have any talents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to do something, but I'm looking at my life and I'm like, I don't know how to do nothing.
Right.
You know? And,
I can hang a sheetrock.
Right.
Maybe I'll be a builder for the Lord.
Right. Yeah, right.
Oh, and I did.
Yeah,
we did.
Oh,
many
yes.
times. You know, but I wanted to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember not
did
long,
you have that overwhelming sense of gratitude? Because you didn't know God before, and it's like God invaded your world and did so much for you.
Right. Yeah, he's done numerous, uncountable things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, you know, I wanted to do something, but what can I do? There's nothing. I was just stuck in this place of, you know, I can't. You know, like you were talking about, I can't do, or I don't know how to do.
Right.
And, but then when I was approached to do something, well, okay.
Maybe I can do that.
Maybe I can do that. You know, and,
But did you have full confidence at that time, or was
no,
it like...
I had no confidence. No, every time I went to go do it, I'm like, man. Is this right? Am I going to mess this up? You know, oh my goodness! You know, here I am.
Do they know who they asked?
Yeah, right. Do they have any idea who they're? and I remember that, but it was this honor, of being able to do something, but at the same time, it's this fear that you don't want to mess it up, and then eventually it grew.
Yeah,
you know, God just continued.
But prior to that, what did you say that there was this roof?
Oh, exactly.
That was over your mind.
My mind, right?
That you couldn't do.
Right, that's what I was saying. I couldn't do. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this thing that was over me that I couldn't do. That I don't have any talents. You know, God doesn't know who he's talking
obviously
about.
He made a mistake.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just this. I was stuck where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, under. Like you're talking about, under this roof.
Do you see a lot of people today in the same type of predicament?
Yeah, because I've been able to share their stories. Like, man, you know, I'm in the same boat with Pat. It's like, computer, what is that? You know, I didn't know how to, you know, turn on a computer. What, you know, I had no idea. But once I stepped out, you know, God taught me this later on.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about was, but once I stepped out and I said, yes, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of that, the and crowbar you're talking about. I'm prying off that roof.
Yeah.
Once you say yes,
yeah,
right.
I'm gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
It's with God's grace. you know, and his mercies that, and him speaking into my life that gave me the ability to begin to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember the scripture that's in, I believe it's in Genesis, or no, Exodus. One of the books there, you know, when God called the Israelites to go build the tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
And God, Exodus. What's that?
It's an Exodus.
Yeah. And God gave, the word says that God gave the ability to those who were willing to go do the work.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the ability to do it, but once they said yes, he gave them the ability to
right,
do it.
He filled them up.
Yeah, he filled them up.
Right.
And that's what I look back in my life, and once I said yes, Lord,
right,
I'll do it.
All right, you took the lid off
right.
of your thinking.
Right.
Allow God to pour in what he wanted.
Right. Because you get stuck in your own mind.
Yeah.
Thinking mm-hmm. that you can't, but you know what? Like you're talking about, we can't do it. We can't do it without God.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it was for that purpose that Jesus died. You know, yeah. It was just to give us purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then once I took that crowbar, like you're talking about, and pried it off and said, yes, Lord, he began to pour in and gave the abilities to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still to this day, you know, and it's just...
Is he still pouring in?
Oh, he's still...
Every day.
Daily.
Well, that's what you call living under an open heaven. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have brass ceiling over your head, and people say, I just want security. What you really say is you're just fearful. You know, yeah. I just keep it under this roof. Just keep it under right. this roof. Do you realize that the roof is only 5 feet, you know? It's only 5 feet there. You know, mm-hmm. you got not much walking room, not much breathing room there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you take the roof off...
Right.
You know, it provides you to live under an open heaven of believing God and for God for pouring in, for you to crying out, and for mm-hmm. you to envision seeing more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it was just, it's been an exciting trip, you know. This experience has been so awesome. And God just, like we're saying, God just continues to pour in. And the things that he has me do now is like...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. You know, and I'm asked to do things, and I don't know how to do that. but once I go in, I mean, this happens all the time. You know, I'm asked to do certain things, and I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that. Right. But then God will give me a word of knowledge
mm-hmm.
and show me. I remember that it happened not too long ago with a particular video. I was trying to do this, you know, an effect on a video, trying to do this thing, and like, I don't know how to do it. I can't wrap my brain around this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just began to pray about it. God, I need you. I need you to show me how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like this mega pop.
Yeah.
I had a mega pop. It was like, this is how, it was like a fast forward movie just went right before my eyes. Is do this, and this.
All right.
And I was like, I know how to do it.
All right.
Wow. It was just like, that was just this huge download.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so exciting. I mean, you're living in that daily and it's just so exciting. But giving the credit to God for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so important, because once you start, if you try to take credit for it, mm-hmm. man, it's going to all come crashing down. That roof,
that's right.
Here comes that, you know.
I think you're carrying it.
Right.
Like you're balancing all this stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And yep. To think about it, you said you, from not knowing how to turn on a computer to you're just not doing like simple things. You're producing
uh-huh.
video. You're oh, editing. Yeah. You're, it's not like, you know.
Multimedia.
You're not playing and coloring or nothing. You're not playing. You're not playing solitaire. We're not talking about playing solitaire.
Those aren't crayons.
No, not crayons. You're doing, you know, some very serious things.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. But it took, you know, you saying yes to God mm-hmm. and raising the roof and saying, I'm not going to stay stuck in what I can't do. I mean, listen, right. you know, what can we do? And really, that's the dangerous thing. The dangerous is always those who always think they can do something. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
no, just put that down. Put that gift down. Just come right. bring yourself, you know. Or
right. Here's a broom.
Here's, yeah, exactly.
Here's a dustpan.
Right.
Start doing something.
Right. Exactly. Start somewhere.
Start somewhere. And what you'll see is that if you submit that all to the Lord, you take the roof off of limited thinking, and you step out in the realm of impossibilities on your own, but all possible with God, you'll see God show up every single time. It's called faith, faith to do. And if you miss these segments on VFN Radio, we want to encourage you. Listen, type in the word faith. Go to VFNTV.com and go to The Torch. And when you go to the torch, in the right-hand corner, you'll see a search bar or a search area where you can type in the word faith. Listen, there's so much on faith right now. It'll stir you up. We've got complete faith, the law of incubating faith, faith to do. I'm telling you, it will encourage you. But I think about what happened with Abraham as well, because you come to a place where maybe you're hopeless and you think, you know, again, if you would have stayed in that place of I can't, there's no hope for me, then you wouldn't have done anything. What would your life be like today? Right. And some of you are stuck there. You're just stuck. You refuse to take that lid off. But if you do, you see a whole world of possibilities that are there. But I think about in Romans 4, where the Word of God says that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope. It may seem hopeless to you. Maybe you're not the best reader. You know, maybe you're challenged physically. Maybe you don't have the greatest memory. But listen, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said of him, so shall your offspring be. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Mm. Abraham had realized, I'm not going to do all this thing, even though I have to get involved in the process. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to get involved.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's why he was like, I am a little old. I'm facing the fact here. And it's okay to face some facts. But remember this, that God's truth always supersedes facts. So you can always acknowledge a fact, but God's truth transcends the fact. And the truth here for Abraham was that God can do this. Mm-hmm. He was fully persuaded that God can do what he said he was going to do. And that's what we want to encourage you today, is that, listen, you can do it. You can do it, but you're not going to be able to do it if you think otherwise. And God, listen, we only have just a small vapor of time here on this place called Earth. And when I see him, when you see him, don't you want to hear those, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I think about the parable that you talked about, Chris, about the talents and about those that invested and those that didn't invest. Listen, he's coming back for a return on the investment. Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, why didn't you raise the roof?
Right.
Why didn't you raise the roof? We can.
He threw him out. The one that didn't,
yes.
Who didn't invest.
Yes. Well, listen, let's get those crowbars out. let's take the lid off the jar lid off of our minds, and let's open up and see a whole new world of possibilities in God and step out and do great things for him. You know, T.D. Jakes was asked, what was some of the best advice he was ever given,
mm-hmm.
Bishop T.D. Jakes. And so many times, people want to give you all this, you know, five steps to this or five steps to that. But you're going to find that the advice that he was given was really, really simple. And it's really, really profound. And it's something that we can all do. I want you to listen up.
Bishop, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received as a pastor?
It is, you'll win if you don't quit. And it goes beyond pastoring to every facet of life. The one thing definite about quitters is that if you quit, you can't win. If you continue to move, you might not be the first one to cross the finish line. You may be the tortoise coming up at the rear. But if you keep on moving forward, you are going to finish. And I think people need to understand that quitting is not an option for us.
Quitting is not an option. You win. You win if you don't quit. I mean, listen, Revelation tells us that, listen, it's about the overcomer. It's about being able to overcome. And not shrink back. To him who overcomes, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with the Father on his throne. You know, don't give up. It's not about, you know, the race doesn't go to the talented. It doesn't go to this person who's the strongest. It doesn't go to the person who has all the gifts and all the wealth and all the resources. It goes to the one who refuses to quit and to stay steady in what God has told him to do. God is looking for men and women right now that are going to stay faithful to him. God's called you to be an overcomer. He didn't call you to be a quitter. He's called you to stay and stand even when it stinks, and to be faithful when in the good times and to be faithful in the bad times. But if you stay steady, dependent and trusting in the Lord, you will see that God will pull you through. You'll be victorious and you'll reap a harvest for him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we know we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're just finished talking about, my goodness, raising the roof of possibilities and trusting God. But you know, guys, there's certain meals I wanted to discuss with you and just ask your opinion.
Wait. Certain what?
Certain, you know, meals, and I know that you're...
Meals?
Meals and foods and, you know, different things that we like to eat there. But I wanted to ask you, I saw an interesting, you know, article, and I thought this was pretty cool. Did you know that a world record has been set? Now, anyone who knows me, that there is one specific food that at any time of the day, however many times in a week, however many times in a month, if you ask me if I'm down, you know what I'm going to say. Yes.
Let me guess.
Go ahead. Just take a stab. I mean, of all the foods, just go ahead. Take a stab.
Hmm.
Go ahead. Think.
Does it have... pepperoni on it?
Oh, you know it does. You know.
Cheese.
Oh, you know it does. Mm. Sometimes a little garlic crust. Sometimes, you know.
Was it extra mayo?
No mayo. Oh. No. Well, yes, you guessed it. It is pizza. Mm. I don't know what it, maybe they fed it to me as a baby. I don't know, but I can eat pizza every day. I mean,
all day.
All day long. Mm-hmm. All day long. And when I lived in New Jersey, New York, my goodness, you talk about pizza. Mm. You talk about, I mean, the pizza's so good, Chris. Mm-hmm. The pizza's so good.
Make me hungry.
That after you take the they call them pizza pies. You got to get a pizza pie up there. Pie. Mm-hmm. And you get the pie out, and then they cut you a slice. I remember we used to go to this place called Bruno's. And they'd make it so fresh out the oven. You go pick it up and bring it to the house. And, I mean, literally, it didn't take more than 4 minutes to get from Bruno's place to, you know, my house. I mean, it's right down.
Close, huh?
I mean, that close. Everything is close in Jersey. And I get to the house. I saw him cut it up now. Uh-huh. But it was so hot that when I brought it back to the house, it just melted back together again.
Oh, it's wow. Like, you had to cut it again.
Where are the lines here? Where are the things? But you cut the pizza, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that it's really good. You know that it's really, really, really good when you cut it and then you lift it up. You know, you fold it, you know, and you lift it up. Mm-hmm. Kind of thin. And you point it downwards and you just start seeing all the grease just drip.
Oh.
I mean, when you see the grease drip. When you see it, then you know that this is going to be a good one.
Mm.
Well, I want you to know that it has been set a world record, and they're called the Dirt Road Cookers. Dirt Road Cookers, a group of 8 caterers based in San Antonio, Texas, baked the massive 46.6 square foot pie.
How big?
46.64 square foot pie, twice the size of the current record holder. We're gonna have this available for you on the torch. This thing is huge. It is huge. It's oh my goodness, Ed, it's 100 pounds. This pizza's 100
gosh.
Pounds. And it is, you see all these guys around it. I don't know how long it took them to make this thing. And I don't know what oven they baked it in, but it is one huge, giant, giant pizza. And I got to tell you that if I was there, I wouldn't mind to take a nice, you know, nice bite out of that. I had a slice at what they said was the world's largest slice of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as I was driving down Jersey City, or actually it was Hoboken, I'm like, pulled on over. Actually, Eddie and I went in there and had a slice. That thing was huge. I mean, I can't explain how big it was because I don't have a grip.
Wow.
I mean, I don't have a grip.
That's pretty big.
You need 2 hands to eat the slice. One, your right hand to prop up the back of it, and your left hand to hold the front point of it, and you're just shoving it in. You're just like you're just shoving it in because it's just too big, and it's flopping outside of the plate. I mean, once you pick it up, you can't put it down. I mean, you're doing damage here. This was the real deal, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like pizza. I think that they should, you know, make this some sort of a mandatory meal for everyone and. eat it every day for school or breakfast. I don't have a problem with that. I'm okay with that. You know, I can even eat it cold. I don't prefer to eat it cold, but I can eat it. Mm. I can eat it cold.
No, I draw the line there.
You draw the line. It has to be warmed up.
Has to be warmed up.
Chris,
depends on what kind of pizza. Pizza that's good cold, and then there's some pizza that's not good cold.
I understand. I understand.
But I can do it.
Yeah, my wife's not the biggest fan of pizza. Oh, she
mine either.
Yeah, she's not the biggest fan.
Yeah, we found out. She let us know.
Yeah, she did. But I can eat pizza every day, and I just don't understand what the problem is. But I can have it every day, and Chris, if you feel like picking some up today, I wouldn't turn you down. I just want to throw that out there.
I don't know if
is this part of your workout regimen?
Well, I'm trying to incorporate
the diet.
How many
times you go back and forth to the pizza parlor?
Well, no, I'm trying to work out to see
how many jumping jacks is it going to take?
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm trying to see, you know, there's so many pizzerias. Think about this. So many pizzerias across the country. What if I can come up with some sort of a diet plan that can incorporate, listen, you have cheese, healthy.
Your four major
food I want you to know.
Yeah, please.
I want you to know.
Yes.
There actually is a recipe.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
For pizza that's healthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Now, there's no dough in it.
The question is it good?
No dough.
There's no dough.
How do you call it a pizza?
Yeah.
Well, you can actually make the crust out of a chicken breast, believe it or not. I'm serious. You beat the chicken breast flat, and then you put all your toppings on that, and you eat it. Cooked, of course. It's very good.
That doesn't sound
but
good.
But it's very healthy.
What that wasn't part of the diet regimen I was looking for. I
just trying to help you out, brother.
Okay. We're going to get back to you on that one right there. But have you tried that?
I have. I've made it several times.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's very good.
But you do have a different pizza recipe you've been bringing. Or is that it?
That I've brought?
That you've brought. Yeah, you've been bringing some kind of a pizza thing.
Oh, yeah, some tortilla.
I've done it on tortilla shells as well.
See, there you go.
That's very good.
Okay.
I'm not feeling that, Chris. I just, you know, if it ain't broke, why try to fix it? That's my personal.
It doesn't
drip
with
grease.
That's what makes it so good. That's the whole thing. It makes it so good.
We can tell.
On that note, we're just going to. But we're going to make sure that we have this picture available for you on the torch. And once I have this diet worked out, this pizza diet, I will share and I will make that available for you. I mean, you can have your choice. You can have, you know, Pat's breast chicken. Maybe you can have that recipe for us. I don't know. And then I can show you.
I'll be glad to share it.
Okay. In fact, do you have a picture of that? Maybe we can make that available on the torch. Is that?
I can get one.
Please find one for us, and we can maybe we can have some sort of a vote which pizza you prefer, and we can put that on the torch.
No, I didn't say which one I would prefer.
Oh, well, backtracking now. Healthier. Okay. All right. Well, you know, we've been talking about for some time on VFN Radio, the fear of the Lord, and it's. One of the most important things that we need to have a revelation of, especially in the church today, is a healthy, healthy fear of the Lord. And I know, Pat, that you were reading at some time John Bevere's book, The Fear of the Lord, and I'm reading a book, or have read a book, called Intimate Friendship with God, Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord by Joy Dawson. And she really shares some amazing insight into the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that you can pray for, and there's a lot of people naming and praying and claiming and a whole bunch of stuff, you know, and okay, all right. But, you know, my idea here is this. If you're going to be praying for anything right now, and the scheme of big things is to really pray for a healthy, healthy fear of the Lord. We're not talking about being terrified of God. We're talking about having an honor and respect for God that causes us to do the right thing before God because we fear him. We don't want to disrespect him and dishonor him.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes in chapter 5 of her book, the different levels in our attitudes towards sin. And I want to share a couple of them with you here today and kind of broaden your perspective on it, because people have different levels and thought patterns when it comes to sin. And she talks about actually there's four distinct levels of attitude towards sin. And you can take an assessment to see what may be your attitude towards sin. She says that the level one is the person who does not sin because the consequences are too great. So they say their mindset or their attitude level is I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do this thing because the consequences are way, way too powerful. They're not going to commit murder because of those consequences. They're not going to commit adultery. They're not going to lust. They're not going to steal. They're not going to, you know, lie because the consequences you know, of this sin are going to mm-hmm. be too costly, and I don't, you know, want to reap the consequences of that sin. So that's one level. A second level is the person who lives by the golden rule. He wants peace at any price, and he cannot understand anyone who is so radical that he would try to change the status quo of his life or anyone else's. So she goes on to say that this person can be full of the sins of selfishness and self-righteousness without being aware of it. And this is a description that she gives. She said he may go to church regularly every Sunday, and he gives his tithes and pay his bills. He grows 6 cabbages and gives 1 over the fence to his neighbor. He often does good deeds. If you came up to him and said, "Do you fear the Lord?" he would be most indignant that you would even ask such a question of him. "Of course," he would reply. In fact, the "of course" would mean, "How could you have been so unobservant? How insensitive to the obvious." If you asked him, "How long has it been since you spent more than an hour prevailing in prayer for the lost souls of men? What is the depth of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ for the lost souls of men to be reached by your witnessing to them on a personal basis? And what is your prayer life in relation to the millions of Muslims, Hindus, Shintos, Buddhists, communists, atheists, humanists, and nothingness who have no knowledge of God's plan of salvation or assurance of eternal life? What concern have you for the unreached millions of the world?" In all honesty, he would have to answer, "Very little or none at all." There's no fear of the Lord manifest in these sins of selfishness, prayerlessness, self-centeredness, complacency, and self-righteousness. There's no acknowledgement, let alone any hatred of these sins in the person who lives on this level. Deep level two, right? Level two.
Wow.
So kind of a self-righteousness thing, you know, do to others, do to selves, kind of check them balances, you know, making sure I'm doing all the right stuff. But that's why they don't sin. They you know, that's the reason why, that's their attitude towards sin.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep it, you know, trying to keep it balanced here.
Right.
The third level, or level three rather, is the sincere Christian who earnestly desires to please the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not want to sin, and is deeply concerned with the besetting sins that are in his or her life. He wishes he could find an answer as to why he is always having to confess over and over again the same sins. Perhaps he commits the sins of criticism and of judging others, the sins of pride, always drawing attention to himself in conversation, the sins of unbelief and being unable to trust God, as manifest in fear, doubt, and disobedience. Or maybe it's the sins of lust or covetousness or jealousy or resentment to God or man. He is deeply concerned and longs for freedom. We're talking about Joy Dawson's book, Intimate Friendship with the Lord, Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord. And she speaks about the different levels in our attitude towards sin. And she says that basically people fall into these kind of four levels of attitudes about sin. The first part, or first level, is the person that doesn't sin because they don't want to get, they don't, the consequences of sinning are too great. The other person kind of lives by the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
The third level is the Christian who sincerely desires to please the Lord Jesus Christ, but does not want to sin, but they keep falling to these besetting sins in their life. They just keep going down, no matter how much they're trying. And she goes on to say how important it is to have the right perspective in regards to sin, and how important it is to understand that, you know, sin is not our friend. You know what I mean? It your attitude towards sin is going to determine if you allow it in your life, you know, and you don't want to be sin-centered, right? Because, you know, that's focusing on the law. Mm-hmm. Not everything is about, you know, he's focusing on sin, but you do need to understand that. What is your perspective in terms of sin? You know, there's some people that teach that there is no sin. Well, hello, that's faulty. That's not biblical. That's not God. You know, And the truth is that when you're tempted, God can provide, God does provide you a way of escape, right?
Right.
Well, this is the fourth level. The fourth level in terms of sin, attitude towards sin, is the person who has the fear of God upon him. He hates sin, therefore he seldom sins. If he does, there is a quick awareness of sin, immediate repentance, and a willingness to humble himself before others if directed by the Holy Spirit to do so. Now, that's good. Think about it. Of all the reasons not to sin, I think a great majority of the people fall into the maybe the first level, where the first and third level, the first one is not sinning because they don't want to suffer the consequences of the sin. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's great. It's like, the reason why I don't murder people is I don't want to go to jail. How about because it's wrong?
You right. Know what I'm saying? Right.
Or the reason why you don't do lies because I don't want to get caught or be embarrassed. It's like, really? Is that why you don't sin? Mm-hmm. Is that why you don't do certain things? Because you would be embarrassed if you were caught? That's not the real reason why we shouldn't sin, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or the third level where it has the believer has a sincere desire to stop sinning, but they don't want to sin, but they keep having these besetting sins. They keep doing the things that they don't want to do, and they just stay feeling sorry about it, but nothing changes in their life, right? She alludes to the fact that they keep, you know, just talking about the sin and magnifying the sin and crying about the sin, but they don't get the sin out.
Mm.
Like, I'm just tired that I keep lying. Well, you gonna stop?
Right.
You know? But the fourth level, and this is about an attitude that you can embrace in regards to sin, is the person who has the fear of God upon him and that he hates sin. You can have a holy hatred sin. You can hate the things that God hates. He hates sin. Therefore, he seldom sins. If he does, there is a quick awareness of sin and there's an immediate repentance and a willingness to humble himself before others if directed by the Holy Spirit to do so. I mean, you're either going to be sinning against God or you're going to be sinning against man. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the vertical and the horizontal going here.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you sin before God, obviously you want to, as the Holy Spirit makes that aware, you know, aware to you, you want to be able to ask God to forgive you. You want to repent and turn away from it, right? But also that if you sin towards somebody else, that it's okay to humble yourself and to acknowledge it and to say, I was
wrong.
I was wrong, and that was sin. And move on from there.
Yeah.
Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. It's by the fear of the Lord. She says we never choose to do the thing we hate unless we know it is something that is good for us. Listen to that. We never choose to do the thing we hate unless we know it is something that is good for us or unless we are forced to do so by an authority over us. Right? Think it through. We have sinned because we have chosen to sin because we love sin. The only way to be free from sin is to have God's attitude toward it, which, through the fear of the Lord, is to hate it. Hate sin in the mind, hate sin in the word, and hate sin in the deed. We will hate sin in the word and deed when we hate sin in the mind, because that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth of what she's saying here is that, listen, you're not, you know, you love the sin. Just get honest with you. You're sinning because you love it. You're sinning because you enjoy it. You know what I mean? You don't hate it. You've become friends with it. Mm-hmm. It's become normal to you. It's become okay. And so you've warmed up to it and you've made excuses for it, but you haven't called it for what it is. It's sin. It's evil. And it'll separate you from God. And so the only way, you know, I was praying to God one day and just, you know, there's so much evil in the land. I mean, everywhere you go, you see all of this evil. You see, it's everywhere. I mean, it's just literally everywhere. You go to the mall, you go to the store, you go to the local grocery store, you drive down the road. I mean, everywhere you go, you see all this evil that's just out there. And today, with all the technology, there's so many people that have access to good, but let me tell you, they have a lot of access to evil, a lot of access to bad stuff. And so I'm praying, I said, Lord, you know, what do you, you know, how's your church going to stay in the right place with you? How's your church going to, you can put all these safety nets and you can put all these things around to help people to you know, not fall into sin and not fall into bondage. And you set up all this accountability and it's like, there's got to be more to that.
Mm-hmm.
And as clear as day, God said it's going to be the healthy fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing, because you know what? You can help your children, you can put safeguards for them, and you can put all this type of stuff for them, but they're not going to be with you all the time. They should not be sinning, because they're going to, at some point, it's not about disobeying the parent and I don't want to get caught. At some point, there needs to be a realization, a revelation that God's eyes are with me, whether my parents are with me or not.
Right.
And that's the same for the parent. You know, God's eyes are with me whether the pastor is visiting us or he isn't visiting us. You know what I'm saying? Whether he's pulling up into the driveway or he isn't pulling up to the driveway. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the parents. It's about you and God. It's about your relationship with the Lord and you having a sensitivity in your spirit and knowing, I don't need to go there. You know, cause, and people not getting confused with temptation and sin. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned, right?
Right.
But in the face of temptation, you can turn from it and look for the way that the Lord has provided the escape so that you can stand. But it all starts with doing a heart check and to find out what are those areas that you've winked at in your life? What are those areas that you have become comfortable with? What are those areas that you have not even considered to be sin, but they would be sin in the eyes of God? When you begin to hate sin the way God hates sin, when you begin to fear God and say, I'm not going to sin for no other reason but because I fear the Lord and I'm going to hate what he hates, things will begin to change in your life and in your walk with God, and there'll be such a freshness in your spirit. And all that guilt and condemnation will go away because you're living free. You're living free to live, to love God, to worship him, and not to be bound by sin, Satan, and all hell. Let me encourage you. Have a healthy fear of the Lord today. Live for God and have a holy hatred towards sin and watch your relationship just blossom and grow because God dealt with sin already on the cross.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Man, I gotta tell you about this. That my grandfather, my dad's father, used to live with us. And it was hilarious and some of the things, but he loved to cook everything in the pressure cooker. He loved to cook everything in a pressure cooker, and he was out there at this place that I'm talking about, and he was cooking collard greens. He was cooking collard greens and on the stove in a pressure cooker. And a pressure cooker, for those who don't know, probably it's not a microwave. It is a pot that you put water in, and you seal it so tight the air can't get out of it, and if it does, it comes out of a small little area, and it builds pressure up inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old-fashioned microwave.
Yeah.
It was the first microwave. And so it's a bomb on your stove, basically.
Right.
That you're creating some hydrogen bomb, you know, some
oh my
water bomb on your stove. And anyway, so he's cooking in the kitchen or whatever. We have these real high ceilings and these beams up real high. And all of a sudden we hear this kaboom!
Oh,
explosion
no.
that took place. And we come running, you know, and then to find out what's going on. Man, there was collard greens all over the place. There was greens in the ceiling, greens everywhere. And he didn't have before hairs on his head. He had greens on his head. There was greens everywhere.
Oh, no.
He tried to take a peek to see if the greens were done yet. And he opened the lid.
He opened the lid while I was on.
And it went kaboom. Oh, my goodness. That was so funny. You don't, when you're cooking in a pressure cooker, you just got to trust. You got to move by faith. I think it's done. You take it off. You take it over to the sink. You let cold water run over it until you got a peace with God. And then you open it because it's a bomb. It's literally a bomb. But I thought it was just that was that.
Speaking of grandfathers, this is hilarious. Must be a grandfather thing with explosions. Yeah. I remember my grandfather. He used to shave. And he used
your
to
grandfather
heat.
Shaved?
Yeah, he shaved. He shaved. But he used to shave with he used to heat this can. I guess I don't use cans anymore, but I guess they still do. But the shaving cream can, and he would heat it up.
Yeah, we actually still use cans.
What do you
know?
I don't use shaving cream. I don't use shaving cream.
That's right. He's a dry shaver.
Oh,
let's get back to the story. Come on,
you're so delicate. You're a delicate flower. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he's heating up this can with his in hot water.
Right.
And I guess he's been doing this for years.
Hot shave.
Well, yeah, it's shaving cream. Hot shave. But the thing explodes. The can explodes.
Is it on the stove?
No, this was, I guess, in the sink in the bathroom somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. I was a kid.
Right.
I woke up and I thought it snowed inside the house. Right. There was shaving cream everywhere. Yeah. All over his face, all over his body. And his shocked look. Oh, it was hilarious.
Well, this is the grandfather that you used to mess with a lot.
Oh,
is that the one
yeah.
you did that thing to?
All those things, too. Amazing. It's amazing it boils on in water.
Yeah, right.
Right. We were at each other with water guns. He'd chase me down, all kinds of stuff. We had some funny moments.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And before the break, we were talking about Joy Dawson's book, Intimate Friendship with God, Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord. And in chapter 5, she talks about the different levels in our attitude towards sin. And it was so healthy because we realized that our main attitude, our main motive to avoid sin shouldn't be, you know, facing, I'm not going to sin because of the consequences that you know, are going to come out of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, your sin will find you out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not because of the consequences. But a healthier view of not sinning, or the reason why you don't sin, is because you fear the Lord. You have a holy hatred towards the thing that God hates. And, you know, there's a lot of people that want different, you know, I don't know why, but titles and places and all this type of stuff. And listen, the greatest thing that somebody could call you, the greatest place that you can be positionally in God is His friend. You know what I mean? Friend of God. You want to be in the fog, right? You want to be a friend of God. But friendship with God, right, requires that you fear Him. You know, that's what Psalms 25:14 says. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And that there is a place that you can walk with God. There's a place of intimacy with Him when you begin to honor Him and draw close to Him. But you can't draw close to Him with your stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can't draw close to Him with your sin and all that. It just doesn't work, right? I mean, you can draw close, and you know what I'm saying? he will, you know, He has His ways, and he can get to you, you know. But you want to draw close to Him out of a pure heart, and we can do that by the way, when we abide. You know, you abide. It's amazing when you spend time with the Lord. You may have not realized that you've had maybe a different attitude towards sin, or you may not even realize that something was in your heart. But when you spend time with God daily and you spend time in His Word and you're listening to His voice, He'll begin to show you. You know that situation that happened? You know that what you said or what was stored up in your heart? You need to deal with that. You need to get that out. And that's what having a relationship with the Lord is all about. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will direct us. And He will correct us. And correction is a really beautiful thing because, my goodness, if we didn't, you know, aren't you glad if you're going the wrong way and headed to a dead end that someone would say, turn around, you know?
Right.
And so God lovingly does that for us and tells us, listen, you need to turn around. You need to repent. You need to get this out of your life so that you can enjoy this intimacy with me and so that this sin doesn't snuff you out. My goodness, we need a healthy fear of the Lord. And this is a good way to begin to that journey and mm-hmm. have a firm foundation in it. Well, you know, it's time for the Torch, VFN Torch Top 3. And this is our opportunity, really, to share with you some of the top three highlights on the Torch. We now have over 2,000, Pat and Chris, highlights on the Torch that you can listen to, you can forward. We have video oftentimes embedded into these segments that allow us to go deeper on the Torch than we could actually have time to do on the radio. But oftentimes we share so much that maybe you may have forgotten, or maybe you just joined VFN Radio and you had no idea about this segment. So we like to share the top three just to let you know what's on the top three and so that you can listen to and possibly share with a friend. The first one I want to share is, it's called Don't Be Led By Your Head, Follow Your Heart. And in this segment, we discuss how many people are always consistently in their head and consistently mm-hmm. thinking about themselves and to them, you know, with themselves.
Well, yeah.
They think about what they will do today. They think about what they will eat. They think about where they're going to go. But, you know, as Christians, we're not called to follow our heads, but to be led by our heart. Although we may be attacked in our minds when the enemy fires his attacks against us, we're not supposed to submit to those thoughts. The mind must be led by the heart. You know, we continue to discuss in this highlight that a process that occurs in your brain when you first encounter a change. And this is a really, really neat process because you find out that, oh, okay, something's happening. Whenever we are faced with change, things start firing off in our mind. And basically, that if you stay in your head, you're gonna stop. You know, staying in your head doesn't allow you to move forward. It really causes you to have the paralysis of analysis, and you can't move forward in whatever it is that God's calling you to do or things that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, our flesh counts for nothing, and if you're moving in your head, you can't accept any change whatsoever. And if one thing you need to know about life, is that it is always
changing.
Going to change. Absolutely. The second one we want to share with you is the will of God. Good, pleasing, and perfect. Again, we're talking about the VFN Torch Top 3. And this is when we discuss God's will. I mean, Luke 22 says, you know, Jesus prayed to the Father on the eve, Pat, of the most important single event in history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's praying. And the most important event in all of history, Jesus' voluntary death on the cross for the sins of the world. And Jesus asked the Father in verse 22, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. I mean, Jesus knew what lied ahead of him, and he sought after the will of God. And we continue to share that it's impossible to know the will of God apart from the Word of God.
Right.
You know, I mean, even Jesus is praying, Lord, you know, not my will, but your will be done. I mean, but you're not going to know the will, God's will for you apart from His Word. And when we give our lives to the Lord, we're also exchanging our will for his will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And in this segment, we share five ways how we can understand and surrender to the will of God in our lives. Listen, if you're, you know, challenged today and you have some decisions to make, and you know, you're sticking your will in there, but you really want God's will, you really want to listen to this segment because it's going to help you to quickly transition from your will to the will of the Lord. And every time you follow God's will, let me tell you something. In the end, it's always good, pleasing, and perfect. And the last one we want to share with you, top three, is the glory of God. And this is a segment where we discuss God's glory and how we're designed for God's glory. We discuss some three characteristics of the glory of God and how you can experience God's glory. I mean, you know, God's glory is just, it's thick, it's weighty, it feels charged. And this is a time where we kind of recount some experiences about how we encountered the glory of the Lord, and particularly during the Brownsville Revival. And we share, you know, our testimonies, what that was like, pretty powerful. This will definitely stir your faith and encourage you. But we realize that when repentance is preached, times of refreshing come. You know, when the pattern's right, the glory falls. And there is a greater glory coming to the church, and we're believing for God to pour out his Spirit in a third great awakening. But let me tell you something, we have to have the pattern right. Mm-hmm. And the pattern is when we fear the Lord,
that's right,
hate sin, repent, watch out, because here comes the glory, and here comes times of refreshing. And the refreshing of God will take you to a whole new level. You know, the glory of God is not just to come in and invade a place, and it's not just for a feel-good, because it feels amazing, right? But the glory of God literally changes you. The Bible says that we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. You know, Moses had to come down off the mountain, and that glory, he covered his face with a veil because it was fading away. And so he would cover it, and then he'd go back up and meet with God, and then he'd put, you know, cover back up again so that the people wouldn't see that it was fading away. But the glory that we find in the New Testament, my goodness, this is an amazing glory. It's a glory that just keeps on going and going, mm-hmm, and going and going. And really, the glory of God has the power to transform you. There's nothing like sitting in his presence and soaking in the glory of God, his manifest, weighty presence. It will literally change you from the inside out. I want to encourage you, listen to these segments, share them with your friends, download them on the app, and continue to partner with us as we share this light, L-I-G, conversation with the world.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.